Today we finally arrive at Bethlehem. We started this journey the first Sunday of Advent, and we know about journeys. Some of you are here this morning because you've made a journey to be in this place for the holidays. Others of you, hi, yeah, we're glad you're here now, are watching us online because your life and your celebrations have taken you away from this place to somewhere else, and this is the way for you to be gathered with your church family on Sunday morning. Today, we hear about a couple of other journeys from the second chapter of Luke's gospel. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We began this particular journey in Rome 4 weeks ago, and talked about how the beginning of the Christmas story in Luke's gospel sounds more like a history lesson than it does a love story. Mary and Joseph are not traveling because they want to. They're traveling because they're forced to. This isn't romance. This isn't poetry. It begins with bureaucracy, and it's precisely how God enters the world. Not in ideal circumstances, but in real ones. Mary is pregnant, uncomfortable, vulnerable. Joseph is feeling responsible and anxious and unable to fix anything about the situation in which they find themselves. There is no warm welcome waiting for them, no carefully prepared nursery, no supportive extended family nearby. But this is where love shows up. That alone tells us something about the way God loves. God's love is not fragile. It doesn't require perfect conditions. God's love isn't delayed until life is settled. It arrives right smack dab in the middle of the mess. A lot of us know what that feels like. Love, real love, often shows up when life is inconvenient. A spouse sitting by a hospital bed through the night. A friend answering the phone when they are exhausted. Love rarely announces itself with trumpet flare. More often it shows up quietly, faithfully, in places we didn't plan to be. Luke tells us that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in the manger. Manger, an animal feeding trough. What a strange place to put a baby, let alone the Son of God. But that detail matters. God's love doesn't arrive wrapped in luxury and power. It arrives wrapped in vulnerability. This is one of the hardest truths of our faith. Love makes itself vulnerable. God could have entered the world in strength and dominance with great spectacle, but instead God chose dependence. God chose to need feeding. God chose to need being cared for, chose needing warmth and protection. Because love at its core is a willingness to take risk for the sake of relationship. If you've ever loved deeply, you know this truth. When you love, you open yourself up to loss. You risk rejection, you risk grief, but we love anyway because a life without love is not really life at all. Grief is the price we pay for love. God looks at the world broken and divided and unpredictable and loves anyway. The story shifts from the stable to the fields. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Oh, those shepherds. I love the shepherds in children's play. They're the ones in their dad's bathrobes, right? They show up. They don't have the satin costumes of the wise men. They're the guys out there who are earning a living. They're not the ones who are respected. They're not the ones who are bowed down to or living in luxury. The shepherds, they were considered unclean, unreliable, and socially insignificant. They didn't belong at the center of religious or political life. And yet, my favorite two words in all of Scripture keep showing up, and yet, they are the first to hear the good news. The angels say, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." All the people. God's love is not selective. It's not reserved for the powerful or the polished or the religiously impressive. If it's not good news for the most vulnerable, then it's not good news. The shepherds working the night shift hear it before anybody else. And this matters. This matters for us gathered here in this place in the 21st century in the United States. Love doesn't wait until we've earned it. God doesn't say, get your life together, people. Get your life together, and then I will come near. God comes near first to people who are tired, to people who are overwhelmed, overlooked, and unsure. God comes to people who think they're the ones on the margins of the story and says, this is for you. There's a reason. There's a reason the angel begins with, do not be afraid. Love begins by calming fear. Fear tells us we're alone. Fear tells us we're not enough. Fear tells us that the world is a scary, hostile place, and we must protect ourselves at all cost. Love says, you're not alone. You're seen. You're heard. You're held. Then comes the song. The song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Love leads to peace. Peace not in the sense of the absence of conflict, but the presence of wholeness. The peace here is not a shallow calm. It's a deep assurance that God is with us. A child sleeps better when they know a parent or a trusted adult is nearby. Anyone who's ever had a hard time with anything knows it's a little easier when somebody just sits with you, even if it's in silence. A hard conversation is bearable when it happens in the context of trust. Peace isn't the removal of all of our problems. It's the confidence that we don't face them alone. That's what Christmas love offers us. Not an escape from reality, but God's presence within it. And here's the invitation. The invitation extended to you and to me on this fourth Sunday of Advent. To receive that love and then reflect it back into the world. We reflect love when we slow down enough to notice each other. We choose kindness instead of irritation. When we listen instead of rushing to fix, oh, that's one I need to learn over and over and over again. When we show up, even if it's inconvenient. Love doesn't require grand gestures. Most often, love looks like faithfulness in small things. This week, many of us will gather around tables. Some tables will be joyful. Some will be complicated. Some will be lonely. Wherever you find yourself this week, remember this. The love of God has already entered and filled the room. Christ has been born into ordinary lives, into strained relationships, and into unfinished stories. The angel's song still echoes today. Do not be afraid. Love has come down, not as an idea, not as a theological concept, not as a demand, but as a gift to you and a gift to me. As we move closer to Christmas Day, may we remember that love is not something that we manufacture. It's simply something that we receive. And having received it, may we carry it gently and humbly and faithfully into a world that still longs to hear good news of great joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.